actually thought about this VBS character.
Well, I would have to figure out where the voice comes from, right? You know, it's not fun to just walk out and use my own voice. That's
Are you
boring.
A method actor?
Yeah, he's living in this yeah. character.
All day, I walk all around.
He speaks that. Yeah, he preaches in the accent. He, yeah. You wear the wetsuit just around the office.
Okay, I don't have a wetsuit. That's not part of the costume, Patrick. Well, don't paint inappropriate pictures.
I'm going to say, if you had a wetsuit, I'd be more believable.
That's
right.
Fair.
The total
What's
immersion.
Inappropriate about a wetsuit?
That's not inappropriate. It's just,
Can you wear a collar with a wetsuit?
Ooh, there you go. Yeah, it's black already. You just put the white tab right there. I can do underwater weddings
right.
for sea turtles.
For sea turtles. I baptized you.
I already baptized. Right. Just bless the water.
Right.
Baptize the
water. Everything. Yeah.
Well, I'm done. I just stand next to the water and I say the words, every fish is now baptized.
It's amazing.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How we doing, Patrick?
And Elisa McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Okay, I think I mentioned earlier that we were at 300 episodes. But we're not.
Yeah,
I think it's actually next week. Yeah. Next week. I think
we're
this
getting
is,
close.
This is 299.
The, the problem is that we've recorded so many in advance and trying
we
to
have
prep
no idea.
Things. We're
yeah.
lost.
Who knows? Yeah.
It's close. It's coming.
It yeah.
Get ready.
We're basically taking the summer off after this recording.
Are we?
I think. Are we?
You are.
We recorded like 12 episodes.
It feels like it. We recorded two extra.
Yeah. Yeah, at least.
That's a lot.
It was a lot.
You go ahead and take the summer off. It's fine.
That feels kind of rude.
All right. It's VBS week here.
Woo!
While we're recording. So
crushing it.
Yeah. Under the sea.
Yeah.
Scuba. That's what our shirts say.
I got a lesson.
Is that the is scuba the theme?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's scuba diving into friendship with God. That is the theme.
Okay.
Yeah. Yesterday I got a lesson from my daughter about acronyms. That was fun.
Oh.
Yeah. Having your 8-year-old teach you acronyms.
Like,
you
I mean, know what it do we have the, is the acronym the actual scuba, or does this have like an acronym attached to it?
I don't think this scuba.
So
PBS
this is
has
just self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. But they learned that scuba was an acronym. And so then she came home and told me, did you know there are these things called acronyms? Hmm. I was like, yes, I did. But please feel free to talk to me like I don't know this thing.
It's like the best when they get something wrong, but they are so convinced that it's right that they will like dress you down about it.
Yeah, that's really fun.
You're like, okay, fine,
everybody's favorite thing.
All right, yeah. And your daughter here, Elise, and both your daughters.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
son.
I just saw both of them downstairs on the way up. That
They're
was
all
fun.
All having a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, great, great. All right, let's get to our news.
Let's do it.
Restaurant says men must be 35, women must be 30 to enter. We're sticking to our code. They've got a age code at this restaurant.
Okay.
Like below or above?
Above. You got to be at least 35
That's
or at least
refreshing.
30.
Is it?
Yeah.
You want to go to a restaurant?
I do. Like it's a little bit quieter. A little bit more sedate.
You can just go to Luby's.
I could.
I'm pretty sure you have to show your AARP card.
Right. I don't think 30 is the cutoff for Luby's. It's much higher.
Yeah, if you go in at 30, they're like,
you okay?
What are these kids youngster, doing around here? Yeah.
There goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, you feel good about, you know, an age code at a restaurant?
I would love to go to this restaurant.
Okay. Why do you want to go to a restaurant?
Are you meet those ages? Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. For a woman, it's 30, right?
Yeah, a woman is 30.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I want to know two things. I want to know why, and I want to know why they're different ages. Like, why do men have to be older?
Because men are less mature at a younger age.
All right, that's
are.
Legitimate. Okay, yeah. We'll go.
Yeah, that's just, that's like a fact. I'm pretty sure they've proved it scientifically.
Sure.
That's what that is. But look, they're going to play your songs when you go in there. They're
are
probably
they?
Not going to play them too loud because they know that it's going to annoy you and hurt your ears.
But
and you're not going to be able to hear anybody else you're there with. It's going to be all people in your age bracket.
Do you go to a restaurant and be like, man, look at all these people who are not in my age bracket? And like, does that change?
Yeah,
your
do you talk to your restaurant, you know, compadres,
yeah,
you know, the people sitting
at
the other
table?
Table?
I don't care.
Not necessarily. Sometimes I get annoyed by like all the whippersnappers.
As a parent of whippersnappers.
Right.
I get it. Yeah. I was going to say, I get it.
Yeah. I'm just going to go on and say that Elise is giving me a run for my money as oldest millennial in the room.
Yeah.
With your whippersnapper.
Right. I can get real grouchy about stuff if I want to.
Stay off my lawn.
Right.
Get out of my restaurant. You have a whippersnapper.
I do. She's great. But yes, but, I love this idea.
So what's the restaurant's rationale? I want more.
Okay. The restaurant's
also, where is it? Can we go?
It's down the road.
Florissant, Missouri.
Well,
that's not. I mean, down A Road. Yes.
It's called Bliss. Oh. It represents pure happiness and pure utopia. There it's a go. Home away from home. You
yeah,
can
when
come
I
here
think of pure happiness, I think of people like over 35.
In Florissant, Missouri. It's like a resort in Florissant, Missouri.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's got West African and Caribbean cuisine.
Okay.
Interesting.
Right. It's just, and there's a rationale. It's just something for the older people to come do and have a happy hour. Come get some good food and not have to worry about some of the young folks that bring some of that drama.
Yeah, because old people never bring drama. That's,
yeah, you know, I feel like if I go to a restaurant and there's somebody like yelling at a wait staff, it's I don't think it's a 23-year-old. I'm not saying who it is, but it's not that, right. You know.
Karen is not a Gen Z name.
Yeah. Of course, we've been getting some little backlash, but that's okay because we've been sticking to our code.
Oh, sure. Okay.
You have to show your ID.
Yeah?
To a hostess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet
oh, they have
everybody.
A police officer after 7 p.m. Wednesday through Thursday.
Oh.
What's going on in Florissant, Missouri?
I would think everyone in Florissant, Missouri would be over 30.
So Florissant is a suburb of St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that matters, but that's where it is.
Oh, okay.
For when we go.
Yeah. For those younger ones, you can come patronize the business once you turn 30 or 35, because we're going to be here for a while.
Have we talked about this before, that I love the fact that patronize has two very different meanings?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you can come and just, like, stand on the curb and mock this business, or you can, like, you know, go in and give them money.
You know, it would be weird if you are, you know, dating or married to somebody who is not in this age bracket,
yeah,
but you are. You know,
oh,
that
yeah,
would be...
just you can go to your restaurant.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All right, babe, I'll be back.
I'll get you a to-go plate.
Yeah. Yeah. You come back, you know, and brag about how much fun you had.
The age gap is always tough. You know, yeah.
I'm living it. So
are you allowed to, like, get your food and take it out to
oh,
someone
that's right.
Under
yeah,
30?
You are. Yep. Yeah.
She's not under 30.
She's not.
She's not
so
under
30. You're good.
Yeah, we're good.
A few years ago.
A few years ago. A few years ago. Would have been tough, yeah.
What would you have done?
You know, on our road, on our
absolutely would have gone into the restaurant
on our road trip to Florissant, Missouri. Yeah, you know, I think I would have been all right. I think we would have found something that works just fine. Yeah, you know, whatever. You know, I get. Again, I more get a adults only restaurant than a 30 and 35
right.
restaurant.
I think that's the weird
that's,
marker. Yeah.
That's just a weird.
It's not even like retirees. Line. Like, that's normally like. Yeah. Active adult communities are like 55
and
plus.
Older,
yeah.
Yeah,
but that's like 30. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever. So
I'm not looking for this when I go out to her. Like, I'm not thinking to myself, I want to go somewhere where there's only 30 to 35 year olds.
I'm looking for a sign that says kids eat free. So like, that's my place. That's my restaurant.
Bingo.
Kids eat free. So, oh, we are in.
Even when the kids aren't there, Patrick's like, yep, we're going.
Right.
And we're getting
I get pass.
Free.
Yeah.
I got a kid. Can I get a to-go plate?
I'm 12.
All right. We talked about the old folks at their restaurants. Mm. All those oldies over 30.
Yeah. All of us. That's great.
Let's talk about the young people on our main story from Relevant.
All right, whippersnappers.
And Relevant is really just referencing a survey by the Talker Research on behalf of Lenovo. So, you know, we're getting this like fourth hand, I guess.
Wait, Lenovo, like, aren't they a TV company or computer monitors?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe the computer monitors are out there figuring out.
Yeah. AI, man.
All right.
It's everywhere.
But so they're reporting on a survey,
okay,
on behalf of another company, and then we're reporting on this.
Yeah.
They're reporting.
This tracks for our track record.
Yeah. From Emily Brown. Although, I'm not sure how much work Emily Brown is doing on the story. It seems like Talker Research did a lot of the legwork.
She had a byline. Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
More of a byline than I've got.
That's true. That's true. Nearly half of Gen Zers say they're living a double life online.
A double life.
Yeah. All right.
What does that mean, though? What constitutes
Alias.
A double life?
AKA, they're all Bond villains.
That means your online persona and your life persona are just different. You know, how you present yourself. So, Gen Z.
Elise does not look convinced.
I mean, isn't that everybody, though? Like, nobody's putting up the pictures of them where they have, like, 12 chins or boogers or, like, that's not. But,
speak
like,
for yourself. That's my profile.
Reality.
Are you saying I have 12 chins and boogers?
No, yeah. Sometimes you probably do, but you're not putting those pictures on the internet.
Are you taking those pictures?
Well, I'm just, like, the reality, you're not taking pictures constantly of yourself in reality,
sure.
Probably, either.
Maybe Gen Z is.
Maybe Gen Z, yeah. I don't know.
Wasn't there, like, a brief period where people were, like, live streaming everything that they did? It was called, like, Ustream or something like that. Like, everything you did was, like, immediately uploaded to the internet. Wasn't that, like, a brief thing that happened?
I don't know, probably.
Yeah, anyway, sounds like a thing. Doesn't matter. Go ahead. What do we got, Patrick?
All right. 46% of Gen Z feel like they're living a double life online. And their online persona is much different from how they present themselves in the real world. And that's much higher than other generations who feel the same way. 38% of millennials, 18% of Gen Xers, and 8% of baby boomers claiming to live double life online. That baby boomer, I get it. They just live in themselves.
Right.
Just get on that
no
Facebook
filter.
And do what you do. I am I'm here, world. This is me.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But
no, go ahead.
One of my favorite things about Facebook is the like collections of baby boomers like bios on Facebook. They're just unhinged. They'll be like, you're supposed to put something about yourself, and it'll
sure.
be like,
I understand
seafood.
What a bio is, thank you.
Hey, or I like Ryan's Steakhouse. This is their big moment. That's what
like,
they got. I love it.
You
yeah.
want people to know that, right? Yeah. That, look, that's their real personality.
Right. Oh, you know, like, I know. Like they're
not
they
front.
Are who you are.
They're not fronting about that seafood.
So, let me ask about this double life. Which personality are they saying is more authentically them for this group? Where are they more authentically themselves?
Respondents shared they feel more comfortable expressing themselves online.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the fake life is like what
yes.
they're living.
53% of Gen Zers admit it's easier to be vocal about their opinions online, whether it be political takes, fears and insecurities, dreams and ambitions.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's really, you know, to your point, at least it's not just about okay, we're not posting the picture of what our real life is like, but we feel like we're more authentically ourselves in this space where we have this buffer between us and other actual human interaction. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
if I have to look you in the eyes. I don't want to tell you what I really think, but if
but
I'm
you
on
like
a,
Ryan's seafood,
but yeah, but when I'm online, I can tell you I like Ryan's seafood and steakhouse buffet thing, or
yeah.
whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
do those even still exist? We used to have one like right down the street.
Yeah,
no,
I think
house,
Ryan's but... went bankrupt a long time ago.
Okay,
but
them and Red Lobster.
I'm pretty sure you can get seafood still.
Yeah, somewhere. I think the only buffet that's really running strong is the Chinese buffet.
Golden Corral still cranking it out, man.
I just you know
I'm not going. But
they're the only version of that though, right? Chinese sure. buffet is like everywhere. You know, you can find yourself a China buffet. Yeah,
and you can get whatever foodborne disease you want
yes.
from it. They're all available.
So,
buffet of food-borne diseases.
So maybe before we, you know, let's see, like, why do you think people are more comfortable online?
Yeah, let's speak for the Gen Zers.
Well, I mean, like, you know, we speak for your own generations too. You know, because millennials 38%, Gen Xers 18%. You know, there's a portion of stuff out there.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I think like some of it is easier because one, you can like. Type it, tick, 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 mm-hmm. and then just walk away, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to live in that.
Yeah.
Like, you can just say your thing, and you don't have to deal with real fallout,
sure.
right? Like, you know, people might yell at you or be against you what you're saying, but, like, they're not in the room with you.
Yeah.
You know, so that I think that's easier.
Yeah, you also right? have a certain amount of anonymity to this.
Sure.
You know, I mean, maybe it's your name or whatever, but you can
well,
yell.
I mean, a lot of people have a blue check mark nowadays.
Sure, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can also have these interactions with people that you're never going to see in real life, right?
For sure.
So there's no threat of, like, it affecting your day-to-day. There's limited threat of it affecting your day-to-day business. There's also an element like, right, millennials, we are the front edge of native speakers in this language of technology. Gen Zers are all definitely natives as this, mm-hmm. you know, right? They mm-hmm. they grew up, like, this is their environment. They grew up having these interactions. And so for some of them, I think that it really is more natural to have that interaction than to
for
have
sure.
a face-to-face interaction.
Yeah. I think on maybe like a slightly more positive note, it might be easier to find your niche community
sure.
on
absolutely.
The internet
yeah.
as well. Because yeah. if you're like, I am into Ryan's Steakhouse, which is using this as an example.
I love that this has become our go.
You will find on the internet 30 other people that
yeah.
are also
oh, yeah.
passionate
there's,
about Ryan's Steakhouse.
There's
probably,
a Facebook group of Ryan's Steakhouse
right.
fans.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And in a way that you cannot like... really lean into that in your day to day, and it
for
makes
sure.
sense to people, right? Like,
yeah.
I have friends that only exist online. We've only ever met online. We talk on the internet, that kind of thing. And it's like a niche, like writing thing that
for sure.
is actually quite valuable. I would not go so far to say as I'm more comfortable in that.
Yeah.
But that is a valuable aspect of the internet. So it might. I would guess that part of it is that as well, that it is easier to connect with others that way sometimes.
Guys, the internet just told me there's a Ryan's Steakhouse just 11 miles from here.
What?
All right, we'll be back.
Right.
All right, we're back. That was, wow, that was quite the experience
right.
at Ryan's Steakhouse. Yeah.
Those rolls are lit.
That steak.
Yeah.
Was a steak-ish. In name, at least name. Yeah. You know, I think that's a good point. You know, if you're a kid who's more eclectic or, you know, finds themselves on a non-binary scale,
sure.
growing up in, you know, middle America and small town, finding people that are like you is important, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Gen Xers like, or Gen Z are saying like, well, I can find these, my community, mm-hmm. find my mm-hmm. group out there that I cannot find in my home community.
Right.
Or I can explore these aspects of myself in a safer manner, right? Like, mm-hmm. I won't feel the backlash, you know, like where talking about whatever. We got a crowd outside.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of kids here today.
Speaking of backlash, if you hear our herd of elephants.
All those, yeah. This is a 35 or over podcast. Yes.
We have one putting their head in the window. Right. It's, not through the window, just, you know, looking at us through the window. Yeah.
I think the other part of this, of like why it's easier, you know, and I think this is a quote from Mike Tyson.
I love it.
The genius that
our
is
friend,
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
I think he said, people, you know, with the advent of internet, people got too comfortable saying whatever they want without fear of being punched in the face.
That sounds like a Mike Tyson quote.
It does, yeah.
But I think it has like a level of like, I kind of understand that, right? Like you can yell, say whatever you want to anyone without real fear of like backlash, right?
Yep. Sure.
Like, and so like, you know, in a crowded room, if you see somebody, you know, wearing the, you know, a political shirt of somebody you disagree with, mm-hmm. like screaming at that person that they're a fascist or socialist or whatever, mm-hmm. that's a faux pas.
Yeah.
Right.
Online,
in some places,
that's expected, right? Like that's how it works.
Yep.
And so like that, you know, so I think like in a lot of angst, it's easier to like utilize all that angst in like a place where like I'm never going to really feel any backlash for any of this.
Yeah.
You know, that's so I can just say whatever I want and what are people going to do?
Yeah. So what do we think? I mean, I guess is it just the inverse that the older communities have not had that same experience? They've like already found the niche groups, or like, why do we think that they're not finding that same like vulnerability and honesty in the digital world that the younger groups are?
Well, I think you mentioned like the native speaker part.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think like, you know, like older communities basically experience like I found out who I was without the aid of the internet, and like I just have, you know, that's just a reality, you know, like, and so I don't need the internet to tell me who I am because I found it.
Yeah.
Now I will say I think some of our older generation online is finding a new version of themselves online, you know, like, you know, a new version of who they are through kind of misinformation and like, you know, kind of like Facebook anger. I mean, again, I think everybody out there is like, if I like it, it's true. And if I don't like it, it's false. You know, and it's not based on any actual fact. Right. Yeah. Like, so
I would be curious. Right. I mean, this is a self-reported study and, you know, you can always take self-reported studies with a bit of a grain of salt. But I'm curious if outsiders looked at the boomer who reported saying, oh, yeah, I am the same person online that I am in the real life. Would like the people around them say that they're the same person online that they are in real life? Like, would they say that these line up in the same way? I'd be curious.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I think, maybe Gen
lack of self reflection. Yeah,
yeah. I think since somebody who works with Gen Z kids regularly, I think Gen Z kids have a greater sense of an online persona. Mm-hmm. Like, they just know, like, this is I'm putting on something and I'm taking off something else.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's doing that to some level.
They're acknowledging.
I just don't know if they know it
right.
to the same level. Yeah.
So it might be healthier in some ways to be super aware that that is what you're doing.
Yeah,
I think it's certainly healthier to be aware that it's what you're doing. I think the question is it healthy to do even if you're aware, right?
Right.
Like, is that the best option?
Yeah.
Which, you know, when we're thinking about this from the perspective of a podcast that's purportedly supposed to talk about faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we claim. You know, it makes me wonder, like, okay, how do we either take the best of this and put it to use to help people have spaces where they can be vulnerable and honest with their faith, and or what have we been doing wrong that people don't feel like they can be authentically themselves mm-hmm. within faith communities, and how do we kind of cultivate that space?
Yeah, let's start with that first. How do we cap? What does this mean for faith? Like, let's start there. Like, good parts, right? You know, as a camp counselor, you know, one of the things, you know, like, when it comes to like a leading a cabin discussion of like and kids being vulnerable, you know, I'll say like a level of distance helps, like in the idea, like, it's far easier for a group of teens to be vulnerable with one another when it's like dark out and like the lights are dimmed and you can't really see everybody as clear. Now, like, noon, outside, like that's much harder to be to kind of say those vulnerable things. Just like for teens, like sometimes I'll phrase questions like, what do kids your age struggle with, you know, mental health wise? And it's easier to talk kind of about others than to just talk about yourself, right? Like, because it's a level of separation. And so like, even though they're probably sharing things about themselves, but it's easier to put that on like a fictional group or person. So so I think like this is a way maybe to utilize that, right? Like if people are going to be like, I will share more of myself online, it might mean faith communities start asking like, how can we have online conversation, online discussion, especially talking about more controversial topics, because we'll get more raw answers. Now, the fallout from that will be is we'll get more controversial answers and a more willingness to fight. It's hard to fight with that's Bill over there and I want to yell at him. That's harder than like that's a screen that says Bill with a statement underneath it and I can yell at that statement, right?
I think your camp example is really helpful because in my experience as a camp counselor as well, right there, it's almost like the camp was the predecessor to this double life that you're having online, right?
You
can come to camp, and for most kids, you're leaving behind all your connections that you have back home, and you're coming to camp with other kids that you don't know, and you're in a space that you don't know, right? It's almost like a digital world for a week. It's its own little place, and so you're able to kind of put on, for a lot of kids, I think you're able to put on a different persona and be more authentically yourself at camp than you were perhaps in your real life. But camp still had that face-to-face interaction, right? And so you were having those really vulnerable conversations, but you were looking across the fire at somebody who's telling you a really meaningful story, and so you don't want to just yell at them about this controversial thing because you still have this face-to-face interaction, as opposed to the computer screen where you're like, well, I can just type whatever I want into this thing and right. So I wonder if we can take kind of the best of both interactions here and say, okay, how do we create digital spaces that also enhance face-to-face opportunities for connection, right? And I don't know what that looks like, but that's a
I think when you're talking about, you know, leading a double life where somebody is more comfortable on the internet, not necessarily, that's not necessarily just like yelling at people over things, right? That can be about connection on the internet, and I would imagine a big piece of that is identities that are historically persecuted by faith communities.
That makes sense.
So it seems like a question that we should be asking there is, how can we become more welcoming to those identities if we want them to be more themselves truly in real connection?
You're saying I might be the problem?
What?
This is not you specifically. This is not
my
experience on the internet.
Right, he'll say it.
The internet has told me
I'm more comfortable on the internet, so I'm going to email you about it.
If only you were different, everything would be fine.
Sounds about right. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I feel that one in my bones. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, are also maybe faith communities have to say, like, we're standing separate from this.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, we acknowledge that this is a real thing for people out there, especially our younger generations, but we need to stand against, like, we need to stand separate. Like, we need to create a holy space that's different.
Yeah.
If that's how you are for, you know, the majority of your day or week or whatever, coming into this space, be different, right? Like, and so how to find yourself in this room without the comfort of a screen or without the comfort of, you know, our screen name, you know, and, you know, we've got to figure that out. And maybe that's a possibility too, that churches out there, I think are saying we want to get even more unplugged, I think there's value in using technology and the internet, and some churches out there can find value in saying like, we're going the exact opposite direction. We want none of it.
This is the story you shared. I don't remember if you talked about it on the podcast, but you certainly shared it elsewhere, right? As we're getting ready to go to Alaska with our youth.
Yeah.
Right. You had the youth themselves say, I need you to take my phone. Like, I will not be as invested in this community if you give me my phone as I will be if you take it away from me, but I will not give it up willingly. Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, for sure.
I will not just put it down and engage in community, but if you take it away, I will engage in community. And so, I think that's a really valuable point of how do we, as faith communities, say this is a place apart, and we can create that space, and we can create sacred and holy and trusted opportunities where you can engage in face-to-face interactions that are scary, perhaps, but are ultimately trustworthy and a place where you can be authentically yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, I think to your point earlier on, Elise, right? A lot of faith communities have not done that well.
And correct. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No argument.
They may have separated themselves from the internet, but that's not intentionality. That's just like they just don't know what to do. Right. Right. Like, they're just doing the internet bad.
Yeah. And, they haven't created spaces where, you know, people can be vulnerable and authentically themselves. Right. Yeah. Right. They've made it very clear that, like, hey, if you're this, you're not welcome here, or whatever, yeah, or whatever that might be. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Or yeah, the expectation of the only way to walk through these doors is to be like us already.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, that's just not feasible, right? Like, that's just an insane take to kind of like land on that.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between a community that sees you right now as a person and a community that sees you as the potential for the person they want you to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and look, a lot of churches out there don't do very good at that job of the.
Sure.
That. But we can, I think we can, that can might be a conversation that leads us away from this kind of online persona topic.
The double life, yeah.
Yeah. Well, any other thoughts on this? I mean, this is a little bit shorter podcast here.
Do we think that this is ultimately healthy? From a spiritual perspective, we'll leave mental health out of it for the moment because none of us are mental health clinicians. But like, from a spiritual perspective, do we think this is healthy?
So I think with the advent of most technological boons,
I finally get Patrick to talk about Advent. I love it. All right, what do we got?
The group that existed pre-tech boon
is
going to be resistant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be like, I think this is going to lead to the downfall of humanity.
Right.
Yes.
Whether that's the car, the radio, the television, you know, all those things. Now, did that lead to the downfall of humanity? No.
Not all of them.
No. I don't think the car, the radio, the television did. Maybe. But, you know, maybe you could make a case, right?
Yeah,
like that, that it drastically shifted things.
Shifted things. Yeah.
Now, this level of connection is a drastic for thousands of years. Humanity has only connected with one another one way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got a brand new way. And so I don't know, right? Like, I'm willing to say I'm not entirely sure. I think there could be beautiful benefits of this, like that connection with people that share your point of view or your lifestyle choices or your likes and dislikes. And if you can't find them in your hometown, you can find them somewhere else. Yes. I think that's a beautiful thing. I also think it's going to create a lot of more anger and separation, especially between ideologically different, you know, political ideologies or faith ideologies. Like, I feel that the distance between the left and the right was smaller 20 years ago and then it is today. I think it's just getting wider and wider so that there's very little overlap. Used to be, I think people would be like, well, I'm going to vote for the candidate I like the most, and it could be a Republican or it could be a Democrat. And almost my inclination is...
Sure.
Almost nobody's doing that these days.
Yeah.
Like you're like, either I'm going to vote for my person or I'm not going to vote. I will not cross the aisle.
Yeah.
And I think I think the internet, this online persona, this anger, this I'm going to type everything instead of say it is leading to that.
Part of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's a fair point. I think there are opportunities for health.
Yeah.
But I don't think that this is ultimately God's deepest desire for us, right? Like I think God's deepest desire still involves face-to-face connection where you can be authentically yourself in face-to-face relationships. I think that still really matters.
Right.
Yeah.
I think there are ways to engage with the internet that are healthy and that enhance your life that you're actually living, you know? But I think it's a real mixed bag, and I think it's really easy, especially for people who feel disenfranchised in their day-to-day lives, to slip into this. The only place I'm happy is the internet or my other life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm addicted to that person.
Sure.
You know, who exists on there. Yeah.
And there's also an aspect probably of like attention seeking that can go along with this too. You know, if you have a social media presence that happens to be popular, there's a lot of positive and negative attention that can be associated with that, that you might not, probably do not receive in your actual life unless you're a celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that I think that can also be really a mixed bag, and I would tend to lean more to that as actually across the board unhealthy.
Yeah,
for sure.
I like the I don't know if analogy is the right word, but the comparison you made to the addiction, right, Patrick? That we become addicted to this version of ourselves whether it's the real version that we don't feel like we can live out online, or whether it's a perceived version that we feel like we can't live out on, yeah, whatever that is, right? We become addicted to something that's not how we're actually living. And that, man, that's when you're trying to live two lives, right? It's just really, really hard. And it's hard on your soul. Mm-hmm. Like not just like physically hard. It's hard on your soul. Like every bad rom-com where a guy tries to date two girls at once has learned, right? You can't do it. Eventually it's not going to happen, and something's going to go wrong, and it's going to tear you apart. And you know, you're going to find out that you loved one of them more than the other, and then they're going to get mad. And
what rom-com are you thinking of?
Some rom-com has done this story, right? This can't possibly be an original plot line.
It doesn't sound very much like a com or a rom.
I'm sure it exists. You know? It's out there somewhere.
Sure. Is this my Big Pregnant Wedding?
Maybe was that your interpretation?
Is this Mamma Mia?
Mamma Mia. Maybe it was a Saved by the Bell episode. I don't know. Right. Could have been that. It's hard to say.
Twilight.
There it was. Yes, it was Twilight. All right. Well, with that, since Elise brought up Twilight, it's time to wrap up. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to know if you feel like you're living a double life online. You can send your alternate personality to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And you can
send both of them so we can compare them. Yes, that's
right. And then send...
Which version of you do we like more?
Right.
You can find all our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. Next week, I think it's our 300th episode. I'm pretty confident.
Maybe. So, maybe. Yeah,
pretty confident it's 300. So...
Send us pizza.
Just every week, regardless.
Yeah, just in case.
We record on Wednesdays around noon. So. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.